All right, I've been sitting with this question all week. How powerful is the human mind, really? And I keep running into the same wall. Everyone says we only use 10% of our brains. It's everywhere. Movies, self-help books, motivational speeches.
And it's completely wrong. That claim has no credible scientific basis. Brain imaging, metabolic studies, lesion research, virtually every region of the brain has an identified function. There is no dormant 90% waiting to be unlocked.
So where did it even come from? Because people often say Einstein said it.
That attribution isn't supported by any documented record. Researchers who traced the claim found it likely grew from misinterpretations of early psychology, ideas about unrealized human potential that got distorted over decades into a neuromyth.
Right. But here's what I think the myth is actually pointing at, even if it gets the science wrong. Most people do feel like they're not operating at full capacity. That feeling is real, even if the explanation is wrong.
That's the more interesting question. And the answer isn't that we have unused brain tissue. It's that most of what the brain does is completely invisible to us. The processing is happening, constantly. We're just not conscious of it.
Which brings up something I want to get clear on before we go further. Brain, mind, consciousness, people use these interchangeably, but they're not the same thing, are they?
They're not. And the distinctions matter. The brain is a physical organ, roughly 3 pounds of tissue, neurons, glial cells, electrochemical signals. The mind refers to the processes and capacities that arise from that organ: perception, memory, reasoning, imagination. And consciousness is something narrower, the subjective, first-person experience of being aware, the eye that feels like it's watching.
And those definitions are still contested, right? This isn't settled territory.
Genuinely contested. Philosophers and cognitive scientists have been arguing about where one ends and the other begins for a long time. So when someone listening to this hears us say the mind, they should know we're pointing at something real but not yet fully defined.
So if the brain is doing all this invisible work, what is it actually doing? What's the mechanism?
Think of it this way. The brain never receives a clean picture of the world. Sensory signals are noisy, incomplete, delayed. So rather than waiting for perfect data, the brain is constantly generating predictions, best guesses about what's out there, and then comparing those guesses against incoming signals. When there's a mismatch, it updates. This is what predictive processing frameworks describe.
So perception isn't a window, it's more like a controlled guess.
Exactly. And that phrase, controlled hallucination, gets used in this literature. Not to say reality is imaginary, but to say the experienced percept is an interpretation. It's constrained by real environmental signals, but it's built from the inside out as much as the outside in.
For example, what does that look like in practice? Because that sounds abstract.
Suppose someone walks into a dim room and sees a coat hanging on a door. For a fraction of a second, the brain predicts person. There's a spike of alarm before the eyes even fully resolve the shape. The prediction fired before the evidence was complete. That's the system working exactly as designed, fast, anticipatory, occasionally wrong.
Wait, so the fear response came before the conscious perception?
Before full conscious resolution, yes. And that connects to something important about attention. The brain can't process everything equally. Attention is selective. When it's occupied with one thing, genuinely salient events can go completely unnoticed. What researchers call inattentional blindness.
The key idea being that limits aren't failures, they're features of a system built to prioritize.
Right. And that means the question isn't why don't we use more of our brain? The question is, what is the brain already doing that we're not aware of, and how does that shape what we experience as reality?
Which is why I think we need an evidence ladder for this whole course. Because the moment you start talking about the mind's hidden power, people either dismiss it entirely or they leap to claims that have no scientific grounding.
That's the right instinct. So throughout this series, we're going to be explicit. Some things have strong, replicated evidence. Some are plausible but genuinely unsettled. And some, like the idea that thoughts can directly reprogram DNA, or that visualization is equivalent to physical practice, are exaggerated or pseudoscientific. The latter matters because the real story is already astonishing without the embellishment.
A physical organ generates something no one fully understands. Subjective experience. The hard problem of consciousness. Why does any of this feel like anything at all?
That question doesn't have a consensus answer. Physicalists say experience emerges from complexity. Dualists say mind and matter are fundamentally different. Panpsychists say experience is woven into the fabric of reality. Illusionists say the hard problem is itself a cognitive illusion. These are serious philosophical positions, not fringe ideas, and none of them is settled. That's where we're starting.
We use all of our brain, but we're conscious of almost none of its activity. Perception is construction. And the deepest question, why there's a subjective someone experiencing any of this, remains genuinely open.
That's it. And next time, we take that framework into the body itself, how belief, expectation, and the biology of the placebo effect show just how far the mind's reach actually extends. The evidence there is both more concrete and more surprising than most people expect.